Good morning, everyone. Good afternoon, good evening, wherever in the world you are. Thank you for joining us today again in the CCWG face-to-face meeting day two in Los Angeles or wherever you might be. As usual, the roll call will be based on the attendance in the Adobe Connect room. And if there's anyone at this point that is not in the Adobe Connect room but it's on the phone bridge, we would like to listen to your name so we can add you to roll call. Okay, listen to no one on the bridge. I think we can continue. And I will now hand it to my co-chair, Thomas Rickert.
Good morning, everyone. I hope you had a good night's sleep. For those in other time zones, I hope you had a good day so far. Now, what does traveling across many time zones and the CCWG have in common? It keeps you awake at night. And I woke up very early this morning, and I've just jotted down some thoughts that I'd like to share with you. To start with, I have good news and bad news for you. I think if we continue our discussion as we did yesterday, the transition will not happen. And now for the bad news. We will likely demonstrate to the outside world that the multi-stakeholder model has failed. And that has far more implications than the transition only. So why do you think I'm making these strong statements, which admittedly are a little bit tongue-in-cheek, as you will have noticed? Everybody came to this table saying they were open-minded, but wasn't it rather like being open-minded for the group to join you in your own concept? You say this is not board versus community or community versus board, but there is a lot of evidence that I could dig out of the transcripts that exactly this is not the case. You say we must have a simple solution. There must be simplicity in how we explain it. But at the same time, if you look at what people said yesterday, they add detail and they add complexity to it. You heard a lot of people say, I support what has been established and I agree to what has been said, but they say, I agree, but. And my friend Thomas Schneider made it clear to me yesterday, again, that in diplomatic language, I agree, but is nothing else than I disagree. I say no. So let's be honest about where we agree and where we don't. You say that you're willing to compromise, but I haven't heard a lot about middle ground suggestions yesterday. Rather, we heard repeatedly the arguments that are on the table for months and months. So we don't see much move in actually finding compromise in this group. Instead, there are a lot of observations, general observations, explanations, reiterations of existing positions that we know. And this meeting, before we came together, was, you know, there was a lot of press around that. And my, you know, Phil Corwin, whom I respect a lot, he wrote about this, you know, the Empire Strikes Back. That was his tagline for the board's comments. Who blinks first will lose, he called this. And I'm asking myself, is this really the way we want to look at what we're doing? I guess not. I hope not. So again, I guess there was some confusion about how we tried to work yesterday. And let me explain again what we tried to do. We build on what we've done so far. This group, I think, has an excellent history in following a process, which is to establish requirements, transform these requirements into an implementation model that addresses the requirements, or that the group at the time thinks meets these requirements. Then we publish those ideas, recommendations for comment. We analyze the comments, and then we improve. when analyzing the comments, we looked at, and we tried to do that yesterday, at the areas of support. The areas of concern, we tried to remove concerns, i.e. we've tried to fix the recommendations that we've made. And where fixing is not possible, i.e. where a compatible solution to the existing model can't be found, we abandon ideas and create something new. And it appears to me like at this stage, what's been called the end game by some, we're losing sight of this approach. We're rather standing firmly by the positions that we've established. So we try to take the approach that we've previously taken very successfully, but it didn't really work. Remember, when we tried to establish the list of concerns, just to give you one example, and this is not to do any finger-pointing, the board, through its chairman, said, when I asked, is this a finite list of the board's concerns, Steve responded, look at our documents. It's all in there. Our position stands. When we were asked to explain what we're doing, we said, it's all in our report. Both parties are right, as well as others that have different positions are right. So this is just to illustrate where I think we are at the moment. The question is, does it help to do it that way? Does it help the process to advance? Probably not. So I think I would still beg you to follow us with this approach that we have used so successfully so far. But let's try to change things a little bit. And I see two, if not three, fundamental issues in the way we're discussing at the moment. We don't really have acknowledgments of underlying concerns. We need to get that straight. We need to understand the root cause for why people like certain ideas and why they don't like other ideas. So we need to be crisp, very crisp on that. So trying to use an analogy, knowing that analogies never work, particularly when they come from somebody not speaking his mother tongue, let me still try. We are trying to build this house of accountability. You know, we've called the four building blocks the bricks out of which this house can be built. And we think that if we build this house and fix all the issues there are, that we would be good to go. But I get to believe that at this stage, you know, even if we build this house that fully works, we have aircon in there, there are windows, there are doors and stuff like that, still the board wouldn't want to move into that house and live there. And maybe it's the surveillance cameras in the toilets and in the bedrooms. So I think we need to acknowledge that we might have issues with, or we haven't fully understood or appreciated the concerns that parts of the community have. And again, the board's concern is just illustrative of what we heard from many other commenters. There's a lot of questions, a lot of uncertainty with the suggestions that we've made. So let's be very honest with concerns and get clarity on concerns so that we can address the concerns. Second point is on requirements. There is a constant request for simplicity. Tijani has asked for it over and over again. So did Fiona yesterday. But if you remember last Tuesday's call, when I asked this group to acknowledge that simplicity should be a requirement for our work, it was turned down. And I think we need to acknowledge that simplicity is a requirement for our work. Now you might say, you know, we need to understand everything fully to then have a simplistic model. And I don't disagree. But I think that what we have at the moment is like we are trying to compose a piece for a 100-piece orchestra. And then others say, well, I prefer a rock piece, three chords, let's go. And I think the truth is somewhere in the middle. The most successful tunes, both in classical music as well as in pop or rock music, are tunes that you can easily hum. ABBA is a perfect example for that. But that doesn't mean that a lot of thought has to go into that, that a lot of detail needs to be fleshed out before it turns out to be simple. So we need to be, we need to continue to be very diligent, but let's strive for something very, very simple. Let's go for the easiest model. Let's make that one of our requirements. Another point is enforceability, requirement of enforceability. There's been a lot of talk about that, but if you take a look at it, and this is just, again, to illustrate that we need to not only focus on removing concerns, but we also need to be clear on our requirements. NTIA never made enforceability a requirement. The CWG, when it said they want enforceable powers, did so months ago when they did not know what model we would come up with. I'm not saying that we should abandon enforceability, but I'm begging you to put the request that we have under scrutiny in terms of, you know, what was meant by it. And do we have wiggle room in maybe taking some things out and helping our little project to advance? So in all that, I guess the main question is that we need to sit back and think about why are we doing all this? Whom are we serving with all this? What is the main intention behind this? What is our mission in all this? And I think you will get a lot of different answers. There are some that have a clear agenda on, you know, they want their favorite topic to be addressed in this historic opportunity. But actually, we are tasked to help ICANN enhance its accountability to prevent bad things from going on. We want to protect this organization, to make it sufficiently robust so that it can exist in a post-IANA or post-NTIA, post-US government era. My friend Mathieu, who is on the call now, as a matter of precaution, I've made sure that his audio line is muted so he can't contradict. He wrote a blog post a few months back, and he said that what we are doing is drafting the prenup for ICANN, which I thought at the time was a very nice analogy to be used. Today, I think that this analogy is probably wrong. You write a prenup for the time after a separation, after a split. That's not what we're trying to do. We are trying to establish a safety net so that we can work successfully together. And I guess in that spirit, we should conduct our discussions. So let's look for something that is simple. Let's look for something that's quite basic. That is the safety net to replace the U.S. government backstop. So I think we are in good shape. I think all the information, basically, that we need to come up with that is there. It was a little bit unfortunate that we came together before having diligently analyzed the public comments. I guess this is what caused so much frustration in the room yesterday, because analyzing public comments is not a fun thing to do, right? But I think yesterday's conversation still helped us understand what the concerns are. And let's take that to heart and try to take that to the next level. So for today, which might not be a surprise to some, we have taken to heart the comments that we heard from some who said, well, you're not making enough use of the brains in this room. And we thought that we would just, you know, we would have an easier time reconciling the differences and just confirming support on various areas. But there seem to be two areas that are of particular importance, one of which is the decision-making in the community, voting versus consensus, how that is done, who can chime in, how to be inclusive. That is unresolved. In either model, it is unresolved so far. The second question, or the second area, is how to reconcile the differences between board decisions and community decisions. We call the implementation of that a model. Now, this is what we have so far. I just wanted to bring that up because I found the illustration so funny. But we don't want to talk about implementation models today. Actually, I would beg you to make MEM and CMSM, or single membership model, the banned words for today. Let's not discuss those. Consider them dead, both of them. Right? So let's try to come up with something new that is truly consensus in this community, that builds on the best of all, of both of all worlds. And let's not tag this an implementation or a legal model, but let's discuss how what mechanism, what process can be found to reconcile differences between board decisions and the community's views. And then after we've come up with some ideas on that, let the lawyers come up with suggestions on how to operationalize that. We did that before. We said we have to establish requirements, and then we let the lawyers work out how to operationalize that. And in order to facilitate that discussion, we plan to have two breakout sessions during the day. So first, we're going to have, as planned, the discussion on human rights. So that's unaltered. Then we're going to have a breakout session, which we're going to introduce again to discuss voting versus, or the decision-making in the community. And we want to make sure that in the breakout groups, we have board members, we have stakeholder or representatives of the different SOs and ACs working together, so that we have micro multi-stakeholder models coming up with ideas and reporting their ideas back to the group, so that we can take stock of the best ideas. And in the afternoon, we're going to do exactly the same exercise for a measure, a means, not to say model, to reconcile differences between board and community views. Right? And that is the plan for today. I hope that you agree that this will hopefully provide us with an opportunity for a breakthrough. At the beginning of the first session, when we actually try to discuss the main concerns, we've discussed with Ira that Ira would briefly speak to us. Ira Magazina, who is one of the experts for this group, he can't stay with us for the whole day, but before he leaves, we want to give him the opportunity to share some of his observations with us. So that's it from me. This may have sounded a little bit negative. Actually, I think Ira was perfectly correct in saying we have 90% completion. But let's make sure that we get the remaining 10% working. Over to you, Liam.
Thank you very much, Thomas. I think I could add little to what Thomas has just said. And, you know, I'm an optimistic. I do believe in our community. I do believe we have a great group of people here. I do believe that we are all in a mindset that will let us push this forward, and we will be able to find the way out for this. It's not as complicated as it seems. Simplicity is the last sophistication, someone would say. So we need to walk towards simplicity. We need to walk towards having this solution ready. And we have very little time. So let's begin working. At this point, I would like to invite Nigel Roberts. We have some updates on the track of human rights. And I think this can be something that can set the positive tone for the rest of the day. I think that we all have an agreement, or we have heard from the community, from various stakeholders, that human rights is, of course, something that we need to address. That is something very important for our community, and that is something worth giving not only a thought, but a very serious weight into what we're putting together. So, I'm sorry. So before I go to Nigel, I see I am being told that we have two hands raised in the Adobe Connect room. The first one is Kavus. So Kavus, I would like to hand the floor to you.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you very much, Thomas, for your vision and for your reflection. Highly appreciated. I don't want to discuss the model nor the decision-making now, but I would like to mention once again, this is the unique opportunity that the full board member meeting with the CCWG. And we need to agree on some overview, broad line of a compromise. and I have submitted a compromise, simple 7 or 8 line overview to Leon, and I request him possibly to distribute it to the people to have a look to that between now and in the afternoon when we will discuss it. It is not too much detail, but it's just avoiding some of those things. One more issue I have to add to what you said, Thomas. We need to be able to sell our proposals. The first buyer is ICANN. If they don't buy that, we would have problems. The second buyer is the NTIA, and the third buyer is Senate. If we are not able to sell that, therefore, we have to return back into the safe card. Thank you, and we can use it.
Thank you very much, Cavus, and I will be circulating your alternative proposal.
Please correct the last word. It will be goes back to the inventory.
Okay, so next on the queue, I have Erica Mann.
Thank you so much. Thomas, I like what you described and the way forward, the idea to find a common understanding between these two scenarios, and I'm a strong believer that this is possible. So I think it's the right focus. I would just urge you and everybody involved in it that when we and you made a recommendation that maybe lawyers then afterwards shall sit together and come back with a workable compromise. I like this idea as well. I think it will help us all. Doesn't mean then we, as the community, will have to accept this, but it's anyhow we will have something we can work with. But to make this workable, I think we will have then to have an understanding that we will give them clear guidance, that we would love to see such kind of compromise or two scenarios of a compromise, whatever we think is the right way forward to come up with, because otherwise it might not work. So a clear guidance will be needed for these lawyers then to work together.
Thank you very much, Erica. So now I will continue with the agenda item, which is human rights. I believe that many people that are joining us remotely have been waiting for this moment since yesterday. We had to postpone it for today. And as you know, this was one of the emerging issues that was identified by our community and by our group. And we had set up a subgroup to take care of trying to address this concern by the community. We received different comments, as I said, supporting the idea that ICANN should be committed to respect and to respect and to adopt human rights, respecting all its actions and on their day-to-day activities. So most of the comments were supportive of this idea. We also received some comments telling us that this could be something premature, that we might be looking at this in a later moment. But I think this is the example, as I said, that can set the positive tone for the rest of the day. I think that we have here something that everybody agrees on. The only difference that we have is timing. Should we take care of that at this moment? Should we take care of that at a later stage? And I feel from reading the community input that the timing is now. And I would call for those who had told us that this might seem premature to embrace the idea of taking care of it now. That will lead us to middle grounds and will, as I said, begin the positive tone for the rest of the meeting. So, Nigel, could you please walk us through what we've worked in the working group?
Thank you. I'll be as brief as I can because I think it's important that the room gives the thoughts. So you can actually run the timer, but I don't promise not to overrun. Why? Why human rights? As many of you know, human rights is an aspect of the relationship between individuals and the state, that is, between the private sector and governments, not between individual private sector organizations or people. Human rights includes things like the right to life and the freedom from slavery and torture. Now, those things are not things I suspect ICANN will be concerned with, despite what Mr. McCarthy wrote yesterday. What's important is the fact that currently there is a backstop. That's a word we've used a lot. The NTIA is a backstop. And that is a public authority, that is a government, part of the US government. ICANN has a unique mission which undoubtedly affects human rights matters. And if ICANN was to go off on the wrong path, that ultimate backstop is there right now. When ICANN is an entirely private sector organization, free of any connection whatsoever to a public authority, it will be legally free to do whatever it wants to do. And some of us often said ICANN occasionally says one thing and then does what it wants anyway. I think it's very important that we examine this right now. It would have no duty to respect or promote human rights whatsoever. Post-transition, what would the situation be? Well, the champion for and defender of internationally accepted human rights principles will be the GAC. And that's no bad thing. The GAC is obviously made up of public authorities, but it's complex. Different countries have different approaches, and often it's a microcosm of other international organizations. So we need something a little bit more and in addition. So there seems to be very much consensus within the working group that there must be a binding commitment to human rights principles by ICANN before transition. And as Leon's pointed out, the feedback from the board has been this is premature, but they haven't said why. And I think it's very important that we learn what the thinking of this is, because we're not talking about making a grand plan here that we deal with every implementation plan. That is definitely something for Workstream 2. We're talking about embedding a high-level core principle to respect this as a unique organization with a unique mission internationally. I think it's a no-brainer. I can't see why anybody would think any different, and if anybody does think different, I'm willing to try and understand now. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Nigel. And I think that since Nigel has asked for direct board members' input, I think this is a good point in which we can try to begin bridging gaps. So is there anyone in the board that would want to address this concern that we have? Steve?
Thank you. We're part of the entire world human community. We support human rights as strongly as anybody. We're always mindful that, and we get told over and over again that we should stay within our remit. So where the intersection is between a broad statement of supporting human rights and the nuts and bolts of translating that into what we do and don't do. We are, at the end of the day, a very, very, very tiny organization in a very, very big world, and we'll be effective doing the things that we're supposed to do in our day-to-day life, in our underlying principles, and in every single action. Human rights are very important, and it would be an anathema, it'd be a terrible thing if we were violating human rights in the course of carrying out our activities. So at that level, not a problem whatsoever. If it were then turned into, well, but then ICANN should take a proactive stand and go solve these terrible big problems in the world, of the many ways for us to fail, that would be the fastest, I think.
Thank you very much, Steve. Any other board member that would like to voice their thoughts on this? Yes, Wolfgang?
I just want to give my full support what Steve has just said. I think we have discussed this also in the constituency where I come from, the non-commercial user constituency, human rights, for a long time. And as Steve has said, you know, ICANN has no right to violate human rights. It has the duty to respect human rights. And if this is done within ICANN's mission, I think there should be 100% support and agreement and consensus. Probably we have to be careful with the language, but this is not a big deal.
Thank you very much, Steve. Thank you very much, Wolfgang. Fadi, do you want to add something?
Simply to echo what my colleague said, we should make it a commitment that we will abide by human rights within our mission, clear. And we have alignment on that.
Thank you very much, Fadi. So I think this is very positive. We have given a big step forward from my point of view. Just today we had a thought of prematurity from the board. We now have agreement that we need to address this. So let's keep the work going. Let's define how we're going to put this into the bylaws. And I would like to thank for the openness. I see Eberhard Lies's hand is up. Eberhard?
I yesterday had a discussion with somebody, and one point I was referred to is that individual wondered, when we talk about anything, do we have a business plan? What I think about this is, it's good that we have agreement that ICANN within its mission will abide by human law. Now, what now? This needs to go into work stream one. We need to have a timeline for writing the language and get it done with. I want, as I said yesterday, I want a topic that we address here to be finalized. I don't want any further waffling and then changes here, changes there, counter proposals there, repeat of old positions. How can we make sure that this thing is done, sewed up, but tied up, wrapped nicely, and doesn't need to be addressed anymore? It has to go in work stream one, as I'm concerned.
Thank you very much, Eberhard. And I think we do agree that this is a work stream one issue. I have people in the queue. I just want to double check. I see Eric Amand's hand is up. I don't know if that's an old hand. It's an old hand, okay. Then I would go with Anne Aikman. Anne?
Thank you. I was busy chatting. Certainly, I would support the notion that ICANN should have in its mission a general description of human rights and support for human rights. I don't believe, of course, that human rights are limited. I think the best definition is probably the UN Declaration, and I'm not sure why we would limit discussions of human rights. I disclose that I come from a background that believes that authors also have free speech rights and that authors have rights to their intellectual property and that those are human rights that are listed as well in the UN Convention. Separately, regarding the process described earlier, and I won't take a lot of time on this, but I don't think it will actually be helpful at this point to come up with other ideas that might result in different legal models. I think that will open a Pandora's box. I think the true answer, based on the public comments, is to go with the sole member model and to restrict the rights of the member to alleviate the concerns of the board so that these horror stories, these Stephen King novels that we've been dreaming up, cannot happen, that there should be cause for removal of directors, that there should be a different way to develop consensus other than the voting process, that the GAC should provide advice to the sole member in the same way that it provides advice to the board. There are middle grounds with respect to these matters, and I ask that we not, you know, try to reinvent the wheel at this stage. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Anne. We will be, of course, addressing each of the points through our work today. Next on the queue, I have Avri Doria.
Thank you. Avri speaking. So I think, if I'm hearing correctly, people are no longer saying, I support human rights, but not as a bylaw. So that's good, because we were already taught this morning what "I support but" means. So I'm glad we've gotten beyond that. That was one good lesson for the morning. I guess that was our homily for the morning. One of the things that I think is important for us to remember is, indeed, we do need to put this within the context of ICANN's mission, and we do need to talk about the respect. I think every time someone says, but, you know, we don't want somebody to say, therefore, you respect human rights, therefore, ICANN must do something about water safety, that becomes sort of a straw man that is in the nature of a but. So I think we have to be careful that, yes, we are talking within the mission. We are talking, and I think it's also very important when we're putting it in, to put it in the minimal respect of within mission and respecting and understanding. But also to remember that one of the things that it needs to do is it needs to answer that question that NTIA asked of how do we maintain the openness of the Internet? Because when we're talking about the openness of the Internet, we're talking about things like expression, flow of information, privacy, and the other rights that we need to make sure that the policies that we create respect. And so that is really the context. It is to make sure that we do no harm. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Avery. Next on the queue, I have Tijani Benjamin.
Thank you, Leon. Tijani speaking. I am also a strong believer in human rights. I agree that human rights should be in the bylaws of ICANN, but I insist that it should be inside the mission of ICANN. ICANN is not about content. ICANN is about names and numbers. So we have to restrict this to the mission of ICANN, means to names and numbers. I see, for example, one of the applications of the human rights, for example, privacy, protection of data, who is, etc. But we cannot restrict to delegate a TLD because we say, this applicant will use it, and he is not respecting human rights. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tijani. And one of the things that the subgroup or the working group on human rights is trying to do is not only to wordsmith the proposal that we would be putting forward as an amendment to the bylaws, but we are also working on having an explanatory note and a rationale that can help interpret whatever we come up to from for of course future actions. So that is something that we do have in mind. I don't think this is the right time to openly discuss any words meeting. We are far from having an initial agreed wording for this, so I don't think that would be the best use of everyone's time at this point. But of course, the meetings are, as usual, open and recorded for anyone to join. So that would be absolutely amazing if you could join us in these meetings. Yes, Nigel, do you want to add something?
Yeah, I think I could usefully add something at this point. I referred earlier to various human rights that are commonly understood, particularly in the European Convention and the Universal Declaration and so on. It strikes me, and I'm willing to have this list added to if anybody can think of anything to add, there are three particular rights that affect ICANN's mission. So taking on board very strongly, and we did this at an early stage, thanks, I think, believe to an intervention by Paul Toomey, that this must be entirely within ICANN's mission. The three rights are protection of property, the right to private and family life, and the right to free expression. Now, anybody who knows the jurisprudence on this knows that there's an interaction and a creative tension between, in fact, all of these three. So what we must be doing is to put in place an overriding objective within ICANN's mission, not to say this means that we have to completely abolish who is or make any changes or so on. We must judge what we are going forward based on respect for human rights. And I don't hear any objection to that. I heard several buts, and I get the sense that there is a little bit of reluctance to go down this road because we feel that we might open Pandora's box. But on the other hand, if we don't do that, I think the consequences could be much greater a long way down the road when ICANN decides it's just going to do things and suddenly we find that there is absolutely no backstop whatsoever. So I think the overriding objective needs to be in Workstream 1 and the detail needs to be in Workstream 2, and I think there is absolutely strong consensus in the working group on this.
Thank you very much, Nigel. Next in the queue, I have Greg Shatton.
Thanks. Greg Shatton for the record. I, too, support human rights and having a human rights bylaw, but I think what's critical is what Avri referred to as context, what Leon referred to as rationale. Just putting a statement in the bylaws and letting various aspects of the community kind of do with it what they wish, I think is a recipe for disaster. I think it may be a recipe for success for some sectors of the community, but not for others, which is not a success for the community as a whole. I think that we need to, it's important to analyze, for instance, are we referring to the Universal Declaration of Human Rights? Are we not? Are we referring to that plus other things? I think the analysis that Nigel began with was an analysis, but I don't necessarily agree with everything that was said about what the backstop of the U.S. government currently does and whether ICANN is kind of a free to abuse human rights as soon as the IANA contract, which does not mention human rights, is gone. What does it mean to have on our articles of incorporation that we will operate in consistent with all applicable laws? These are issues that need to be solved in Workstream 1 along with the bylaw. I think we can't just let the bylaw, you know, kind of run wild and then try to tame it later on. This doesn't need to be encyclopedic, but it does need to be constructive and instructive and bring out the same kind of analysis that we have for all the rest of our proposal, including stress tests, to deal with the issue of consequences and real-world concerns. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Greg. And you address very important points. I think one way forward, and this is what we've been doing in the working group, is to try to find some kind of wording that is broad enough not to leave anyone's rights out of the definition, but also narrow enough to refer this to ICANN's mission and remit. So this is something that we've been tasked to do, and we've also heard that we need stress testing. So I think that what we're hearing in the course of the work of the working group is that we need to do at least two stress tests. And these two stress tests refer to what happens if we do include a bylaw that addresses human rights into ICANN bylaws, and what happens if we don't. So these are two stress tests that we will be tasking the stress test team to undertake. What happens if we do? What happens if we don't? I think this is important for us to better understand the scope and the remit of our work. Next in the queue, I have Brett Schaffer.
Thank you. I support human rights. Everybody in this room supports human rights. If you go by the statements that are made by China, Iran, North Korea, other countries in the United Nations, they like human rights, and they support human rights as well. The question is, what do we mean by human rights? Do we mean the Universal Declaration? Do we mean the rights in the ICCPR? Do we mean the rights in the ICESCR? do we mean the core human rights identified by the Office of the High Commissioner? Do we mean the third generation of human rights, the right to development, the right to the Internet, the other rights that are out there that are being promulgated and sometimes supported by governments and others by human rights organizations? The fact of the matter is, not every government even abides by the rights of the treaties that they've ratified and claim to observe and to honor. And when you're talking about the various categories of human rights, I think that you're going down a very slippery slope with a broad commitment to human rights internationally, because that doesn't really mean anything. There is no clear delineation of where internationally recognized human rights start and end. It's a fundamental tenet in the United Nations system and among a lot of human rights organizations and advocates around the world that human rights are indivisible, interdependent, and also interrelated. So when you say a broad commitment to human rights, you're not talking about just the things in ICANN's remit outside of ICANN. You're talking about the entire universe of human rights from those. And I think that if the CCWG endorses a broad commitment to human rights, it is very likely that this human rights community will interpret this as a commitment to ICANN, to the entire universe of human rights. And when you talk about a broad commitment to human rights embedded into the bylaws, it is easy to articulate an argument that ICANN has an obligation under various human rights conventions and to, in the service of the public interest, which we've heard about today, which is also poorly defined, that it will have an obligation to support a number of human rights that are currently probably not envisioned to be within ICANN's remit currently, or envisioned by this community and this group to be likely to be endorsed or to be pressured on ICANN by the various communities out there. So just let me conclude by saying I think it's very, very unwise to have a broad commitment to human rights embedded into the bylaws. I think you need to enumerate them very tightly to make sure that they are within ICANN's remit and its mission. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for this intervention. We are closing the queue with Eric Amann at this point. So the queue is now closed. Next on the queue, I have Marilia Maciel.
Thank you very much, Leon. This is Marilia Maciel speaking. Warm regards to all of you in LA from Brazil. Well, it's very reassuring and inspiring to hear the comments from the floor, from board members, from CEO, from the community supporting human rights. And the discussion is really not new. There is a cross-community working party discussing human rights with participation in every ICANN meeting from different sectors of the community, from SUSAC, from ALAC, from TSG, from registries, from IPC. And I believe that one point that has been recurrently made is that policies that ICANN are adopting today, they have an interplay with human rights and they are impacting human rights. So I think that the point is well established with regards to why we should tackle this now. From the public comment period, it seems that there is support for a general language, and I would publicly like to thank Leon from managing and administering the discussion in Working Party 4. And this support for a general language is something that makes very clear that we are discussing human rights that would fall under ICANN's remit. What are the human rights that are relevant? Some of them have been well mapped in reports that have been published before, in work that has been developed by the GAC. For sure, there is an interplay with the right to privacy, with the right to freedom of expression, with due process, but the process of mapping what are the relevant rights is still underway. And there is a working group created by the GAC, there is a cross-community working party working on it right now, and I think that this is something that would be very relevant for Workstream 2 to deal with. What are the specific treaties and international law that would be relevant in this case? So I think that by making a general commitment, we are opening the door to more discussion in Workstream 2, and we are just saying what is already said in Article 4 of the Articles of Incorporation, that ICANN must respect international law, and international law encompasses human rights. We are just making it more clear, and I think that it's a general concern of the community, and I think that it's very well accepted and understood that ICANN as an organization and its operations should respect and follow human rights laws. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Marilia. So I think that we still need to answer a couple of questions that are very important for defining the the discussion and trying to achieve the goal for this working group on human rights. I think one of the concerns that I'm hearing is how do we define or we determine the language or the remit of the human rights that we are trying to refer to in the bylaws. So are we going to refer to the Universal Declaration on Human Rights? Are we going to refer to any other document that we're going to list the different human rights that we believe that can be in the bylaws? Are we going to have a broad definition on human rights? So I think that is one of the questions we need to answer. This will, of course, could be the task of the Working Group on Human Rights. So far we have been having, as I said, very fruitful discussions on this. We are far from over, of course, but I think that one of the agreements or the suggestions that the working group has made is to not limit the human rights in a list, because that would, of course, categorize human rights into which are worth being on the list, which are not worth being on the list, and we don't want to do that, of course. So the other discussion we've had is whether we do refer to one certain document or whether we refer to different documents, and I think that's also a point of discussion. Now, we have very little time to carry this out, so I would suggest that we task our working group for, let's say, a three weeks' time at the most to have a proposal for the larger group to review and, of course, hopefully approve. So I would like to define now a timeline for us to discuss in Dublin, by Dublin, the definition or how we would wordsmith this. So next on the queue, I have Robin Gross.
Thanks, Leanne. This is Robin Gross for the record. I will be brief. I just want to remind folks that ICANN is a public interest organization, that ICANN claims it operates in the global public interest. And so I think that really absolutely confers a responsibility and obligation on ICANN to make sure, to take measures to make sure that its policies and operations are respectful of human rights. I don't think, I share concerns that we could be expanding rights, we could be expanding ICANN's mission, we could be defining rights in such a way that actually mitigates others. So I do share those concerns. However, I still think it's extremely important that we go on the record in the bylaws with an obligation to simply respect human rights in ICANN's mission, in its operation, and policies. All I'm talking about here are things like freedom of expression, privacy rights, due process. I think Avery said earlier, these other claims about water rights are really just a straw man. I think that's absolutely right. We really are just talking about a narrow set of rights that interplay with ICANN's policies and ICANN's operations. And so I think we can focus in on that and have a commitment in the bylaws to respect those within ICANN's policies and operations within its mission. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Robin, next I have Qazi Al-Shadi.
Thank you, Chairman. We are all believers and supporters on human rights as it is in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. If the issue is about a general commitment from the ICANN for human rights, I think that's fine, and we all support that. I will reference the Not Mundial Conference. I think the Internet of Principles are completely consistent and committed to human rights, and there is a mention or a reference for that in that document to human rights, which reflects the commitment, again, of the technical community and the ICANN to that, to this concept. And I guess the biggest assurance of the commitment of the ICANN to human rights is the ICANN community itself and the belief of the ICANN community in the principles of human rights, and that's the biggest assurance, really, for the commitment of the organization for it. However, if we want to incorporate in the bylaws something related to human rights, ICANN as a technical organization, we need to know in what aspect its role or its mandate is linked to that and how. And based on that, we would know what is the proper mean or format that the human rights will be referenced in their bylaws. ICANN is a technical organization and it's purely technical, so we need to know that specifically. In that respect, really, the comment by my dear colleague Avery and my dear colleague Tijani, I would find it is a good way to start with. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kwasi. Next on the queue, I have Mark Carvel.
Thank you, Leon. Good morning, everybody. Mark Carvel, United Kingdom representative on the GAG. I very much welcome this discussion today. The UK government is a member of the Council of Europe, and Council of Europe, as some of you may know, made a declaration on the 3rd of June on ICANN, human rights, and the rule of law. So this is very much a core issue for us in respect of ICANN's mission and operations and ensuring that ICANN fulfills its commitment. And we very much welcome the statements today by board members, and including the CEO, President, on that commitment. And as I understand it, the decision today to proceed with Workstream 1 to formulate a text in the bylaws, that's all very welcome. And I mentioned the Council of Europe because the declaration, I think, is quite a useful text. It does refer to a number of conventions, European and at the UN level, and for the benefit of those contributing to the work in the working group, I draw particular attention to paragraph 5 of the Council of Europe Declaration, which refers to Resolution 17/4 on human rights and transnational corporations and other business enterprises. This resolution was adopted by the United Nations in June 2011. I think that's highly relevant to ICANN's mission and the commitment that we've heard today on adhering to conformity with principles of international law as they relate to human rights. So I draw that declaration to the attention of colleagues here, and in particular the working group. And the GAC, as was mentioned in the previous intervention, has a working group, and we set it up fairly recently. We're still finalizing the terms of reference, but the GAC looks forward to contributing to discussion and interaction with members of the community on this important topic. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mark. Next is James Bledel.
Thanks, Leon. Over here, James. Thanks. So like everybody in the room, I personally agree with the concepts of human rights and think that we could probably put some high-level acknowledgement of that into the bylaws. But I think, as many of folks have already indicated, we need to be very careful to construct that language in a very narrow and clear manner to limit ICANN to an appropriate role. And I think, you know, I take Steve's words to heart. There's a very quick path to failure here that we need to be very mindful of. So I come from the commercial sector and ICANN, which is where all of these lofty ideals have to be put into practice. And we do so via commercial agreements, contracts, terms of service. And I'm very, very leery about introducing human rights in a broad way into what are today exclusively commercial agreements. For example, free expression. You know, I think that that's a laudable goal and objective, but we need to recognize that today we put in our terms of service, for example, that we don't tolerate spam, abuse, hate speech, and would hate to see that kind of provider-level discretion removed under the guise of ICANN championing and advocating human rights. So we need to be very careful here. We don't want to create chaos in our industry, and I think that I would urge caution on the part of the working group. Thanks.
Thank you very much, James. Excellent cue. I have Chris Despain.
Thank you, Leon. Morning, everyone. So once again, I find myself talking into the microphone about something that I agree with in principle, but asking some perhaps difficult questions. If you put a high-level reference to human rights in the bylaws, I can't see how you can do it without at least explaining what you're going to define human rights as. You refer to some sort of declaration or whatever, and then there becomes a choice and a fight over whose declaration you use. But let's assume you make that decision and you decide to use the Chris Despain Declaration of Human Rights as the reference point for the bylaw. Having put it into the bylaws, then I assume that the actions taken by the community and the board then become subject to that, and therefore it's subject to some kind of appeals mechanism or IRP. And then the question becomes, well, who's going to be the judge? Who are you going to go to and claim that your human rights have been breached by something that ICANN has done? Are you going to say it's going to be the European Court of Human Rights? Are you going to say it's going to be the Californian Arbitration Panel? You can't just put it into the bylaws. There are consequences that flow from that, and those consequences need to be clear and answered. And whilst it's laudable to suggest that you can push some of this through, do some of it now in Workstream 1 and push some of it through to Workstream 2, I would argue that unless you are clear what you are going to do in the event that someone makes a claim that their human rights have been breached, you can't put that work off to Workstream 2. You have to do it in Workstream 1. And so this community, if it decides to do all of that stuff, needs to get very clear whose definition they're going to use and who is going to be the judge or the arbiter of whether that definition has been breached. Thanks.
Just Nigel.
Brief rejoinder to that, Chris. You'll concede that ICANN's mission includes global public interest. I've heard that several times in about 5 or 10 minutes. Who do you appeal to if you think that ICANN's not acting in the global public interest?
Thanks, Nigel. Next I have Neil Stenover. Niels, might you be on mute?
Hello, can you hear me now?
Yes, we do listen to you now. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you very much, and greetings from quite far away. I would like to thank everyone for discussing this very important topic, and I'm really happy that we have this opportunity to discuss this here. And I would really like to discuss an issue that was brought up, namely the perceived risk that ICANN would now need to protect human rights outside of its mission. And I would like to say that is definitely not the case, because only states have the obligations to protect human rights, whereas what we're talking about within ICANN is respecting human rights within its mission and remit. So I don't think we need to be afraid about mission creep. And I think we also don't need to be afraid about creating crisis and havoc in the industry, because we practically already have a commitment in Article 4 of ICANN's Articles Incorporation. And I don't think we're currently experiencing crisis or havoc, or definitely not related to human rights within ICANN. What we haven't done yet is really give a body or an implementation to the commitment we already have. So I think it would be great if we come up with a very balanced and proper approach to this. And we can learn a lot from the industry on this, because a lot of companies have already worked on these. So we need to look at the lessons learned as they exist already, for instance, as done by Cisco, or also as a company as Google did. So I think we can learn a lot from the business constituency. And then there are also stress tests to be done. And there is a lot of work being done currently, for instance, in the cross-community working party on ICANN's corporate and social responsibility to respect human rights, that will present a model in Dublin to do this. But this is a quite a large body of work, and we will definitely not do that, and we'll definitely not probably be able to finish that before Workstream 1 ends, and then it would be a real pity to not make use of this opportunity, while it seems, if we look at the comments, that there is a very broad agreement on the commitment of a high-level commitment to human rights. So I would say we go with the current commitment, which do not expand ICANN's obligations since of Article 4 of Article Incorporation, but it will give us the support to work on a proper human rights policy and come up with a proper, balanced way to implement that. And I'm very much looking forward to work with you on that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Niels. Next, I have Stephen Dehack. Stephen?
For the record, Stephen Dehack. With all due respect to the chair's opening remarks, it appears to me that what I'm seeing here today is starting off pretty much on the same foot and with a similar tone as yesterday's meeting. It was stated early in this discussion that there was consensus on HR, yet I'm hearing nothing but, well, we can't do it because of this or we can't do it because of that type remarks, with few exceptions. I do second Robin's comments regarding ICANN's obligations as a public interest corporation. Further, I would like to remind this group that a failure to deal with this in Workstream 1 and have an HR component in the proposal that is transmitted to the NTIA will cause further consternation with some members of the U.S. Congress who have concerns about Internet censorship, free speech issues, etc. These members are already skeptical of the entire NTIA proposal with respect to the transition, and I see no reason why we need to further antagonize the Congress by failing to include an HR section in the proposal that is transmitted to the NTIA.
Thank you very much for that. Next, I have Erica Mann, with whom I had closed the queue, and we are, it's Eric Brunner-Williams, which we have before Erica Mann, and after Eric, I had closed the queue, and I would like for the comprehension of the rest of the people that have their hand up in the queue to continue this offline. So, Eric Brunner-Williams.
Thank you, Chair. This is Eric Bruno-Williams for the transcript record. A decade ago, we met in Rome, and a former board member approached me and asked me to lend my name as CTO to an application, a sponsored application for a Catalan language and cultural namespace. In the intervening 10 years, the amount of Catalan language accessible online has exploded. No one had any idea this would happen. Tomorrow, the Catalan regional government is holding a referendum on the relationship of Catalonia and Spain. Access to a namespace and the policy of facilitating linguistic and cultural commons is in our direct control and should not be overlooked. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Eric. Next is Eric Amann.
Thank you. Let me add one point for the working group to consider. Nigel, you made a comment which was triggered some thinking. If this is maybe you would recommend maybe to approach the topic in a little bit different way. You said that you would recommend that these human rights related principles shall have a kind of overriding objective. And in the context you mentioned in particular who is. Now I think we have to be very cautious that we don't give the impression in the way we will write these principles that we somehow can escape our companies, registrars and registries, or ICANN as a whole, somehow can escape legal obligations by national from national countries or even from international international treaties. So I'm very concerned that we get this really. I notice from the internet world where we work with these clashes all the time, and I would not want to see ICANN drafting recommendations and objectives in such a way that we give wrong impressions. Because registrars and registries and everybody else, and even ICANN, we will have to respond to requests which come from either law enforcement agencies or from whomever, if they are objective-wise and if they have the right legal path taken. So I just want to be clear that we don't give an impression that these kind of principles can override obligations.
I think that's absolutely correct. I think we're in violent agreement. The fact I mentioned who is was a throwaway reaction to something that I believe it was Tijani said. The laws that you refer to are all produced by the European Commission and the 40, by many different countries in the context of the Council of Europe, in the context of human rights obligations by states. So absolutely not can we ever override, for example, data protection law in Europe, even though the ICANN has tried its best for the last 15 years to do exactly that.
Thank you very much. So what I'm listening now is that we all agree that this works from one issue, that we must deliver so we can approve by Dublin. And since this is something that will go into the bylaws, I would suggest we task the lawyers with helping us with meeting this bylaw language. It will be, of course, the task of the Working Party on Human Rights to direct the work of the lawyers, but it will be the lawyers' work to provide us with the suggestion on how we can include this into the bylaws. So I'd like to close this item now with these action items, and I think, Thomas, do you want to... I'm sorry, what? Yes, and of course, thank you, Nigel, for joining us and for all the work you've put into trying to get this to shore. And
thank you, and I must say I'm more encouraged after this session than when I was when I read the board comment, which struck me initially at least as an out-and-out rejection. So thank you to all, thank you to the board members for what you've done here today.
Thank you very much, Nigel. I will hand it now over to Thomas.
Thanks very much, Leon. And as indicated earlier, we would very much like to invite Ira Magazina to the table and address this group for a few minutes before he has to leave. I think Ira doesn't need any further introduction. You know Ira, he's been instrumental in setting up ICANN, so he really knows ICANN from the very beginning and even the times before ICANN was established. Ira is one of the advisors picked by the public expert group, and since we only have Ira in the room today present as one of our advisors, you know, that's an ideal opportunity for hearing him. We know that we have and had other advisors participating remotely, but we would like to give Ira the floor now. Ira, please.
Thank you very much. I won't take too much of your time. I feel a bit responsible for having gotten you all into this back 17 years ago when we advocated for this transition. Let me first of all thank you all and congratulate you on all the hard work you've done now for, I don't know, a year, year and a half to try to get us to this point. I do believe that you're 90% or more the way there to completing a successful set of recommendations that, if they're done in a timely fashion, can be accepted, and that this will be something truly historic in taking this multi-stakeholder model and global model and taking it through to its natural conclusion of independence and community-driven and a bottoms-up set of processes for taking this global medium of the Internet and really making it a global responsibility. Having said that, I think that last 5 or 10% is not going to be easy, and you have a limited amount of time to get there. I want to say that I believe, having observed yesterday and this morning and followed this the past couple of weeks, that I think in substance you can get there. I don't think any of the issues that I've seen brought up, either in the report of the committee or in the board response or in other responses, are showstoppers or are things that can't be solved. I think what I worry about is two things. I think you can fail. And I think you're right on a knife's edge now as to whether you'll succeed or fail. And the two things I worry about, one is that time is running out. For those of you who have observed the U.S. political scene, it is in a state of instability that we haven't seen for a long time. The Speaker of the House resigning and resigning from Congress, and the campaigns that have been developing for president have been developing in a very unorthodox way, and there are strains points of view being put forward that are somewhat nationalistic and so on, that I think mean that as the political season develops next year, something like this, no matter how meritorious and how well constructed, could irrationally be caught up in the political process here and therefore defeated or put off. So I think you have a limited amount of time to get this done and for the U.S. government to consider it and pass it. In my view, I think you need to get this pretty well wrapped up in terms of agreement on these various issues by the end of Dublin. I think if it drifts on too much beyond that, I mean, you can be putting dots on I's and crossing T's after that and just, you know, finalizing the document, but you can't be disagreeing with yourselves the way you are now, and you can't be showing the distrust for each other that you are now, or else you're going to run out of time. My second concern is that a process be created. This has been a very bottoms-up process. You've consulted widely. You've taken opinions. And a process where everyone gets to agree on everything at every point, at some point, is not scalable. It does not mean that it's not bottoms-up if there's some delegation to a smaller set of groups that are properly designated to bring something to conclusion. And you will not be able to, I think, succeed on the negotiations that have to take place to bring the compromises if you don't do some delegation. Now, I know a lot less about all of this than you do currently, but it seems to me that the committee and the chairs have been designated in a proper way by the community through the 7 operating groups. So they have a designation to represent. I mean, as somebody who's been involved with politicians, every politician always speaks for the people. But somehow they're speaking for different people because they always disagree all the time. But they're all for the people, the people, the people. You're all for the community, community, community. Everybody's representing. Well, there are some official representations based upon the way ICANN has existed for all its existence. One is that this committee was formed and it has chairs, and they or whoever they pick ought to be able to represent that responsibility. The board didn't come down from God. It didn't come through some coup by a general. It had a process that appointed the board, and there it is. You may like them, you may not like them. Doesn't matter. They're the board. They have a responsibility and a kind of designation from the community. And then the heads of the 7 groups have a designation and their constituencies. My suggestion would be that coming out of today, you know, you have the discussions. I think the chair made an excellent statement in his opening statement on behalf of the chairs, which represented both good sense and flexibility. And so I would echo that statement and suggest that you have the discussions you're planning to have today. But coming out of that over the next couple of weeks, you ought to designate, the board ought to designate a couple of people, the chairs ought to participate, and if they want to designate, and maybe try to get some of the heads of the 7 groups involved, or if they want to delegate. And that group try to facilitate a set of discussions, which will probably have to be conference calls, to resolve the remaining issues in the next couple of weeks and then bring it back to Dublin. And these meetings, I'm not talking about, you know, some smoke-filled private room where deals are cut. There should be notes of the calls. There should be transparency. But you're not going to resolve some of these issues with hundreds of people sitting around in a room and then another how many on the online. So you need to get people with official designation by the community who've been tasked to do these things together to do it in an unpressured environment. And then they need to act in good faith to work on compromising and to let emotions get out of it. There's something else the chair said this morning that I think ought to inform these discussions. The place where people get into trouble and groups get into trouble is when they try to overreach, right? And the task of accountability that was assigned to this group was, as the chair said this morning, to replace the ultimate backstop of the U.S. government with a community-based backstop. The committee was not charged to completely rewrite the way ICANN works. Now, I'm sure ICANN can be improved, and there ought to be an ongoing process to improve it in the way it works. But this particular committee and the NTIA didn't task you to completely redo ICANN. In fact, if you feel you have to completely redo ICANN, if I'm sitting as a member of Congress, I'm going to say, wait a second. You know, I thought this multi-stakeholder model was so great that they want us to turn everything over to it. Now, the community is telling us they don't like it. They want to over, you know, they want to change it all. I'm not going to kind of turn this over to some unknown thing. I thought I was turning it over to something that was working. And in fact, ICANN, for all its problems, has worked. You know, it's got a lot of problems. It's made mistakes. You know, it's human. It's got human beings sitting there. Makes mistakes. There are arguments. But we wouldn't be here today if ICANN were failing. So the key thing here is to get to the accountability mission you have. And I think your document does that. It just needs to be reframed, and there need to be some compromises struck around the room. So I would urge you to do that. Having listened to this and read it all, I think the substantive agreements have been there. And by the way, I don't think there's any one right way to do this. I think there are a half dozen different solutions you could come up with that have been proposed that would work well enough. So it's not like if you don't get your way, the whole thing's going down the tubes. You may not get your particular favorite, but it'll work. It'll work. And let me end by just a personal statement. You know, I've had a multifaceted career now. And I've had successes and failures during my career. And as I look back on my life, there have been cases where I was involved in something big and something potentially historic, and I thought that the ideas that I and my colleagues had were absolutely the right ones. And I fought for those too long and didn't realize when it was time to effect a compromise. And the thing went down completely. And those are the biggest regrets I have in my life, I've also been part of things that have succeeded where I had to make compromises and where I really didn't think the compromises I were making were in the best interest of what I was trying to do. Things got passed, they moved forward, and then they self-corrected. They corrected themselves over time. And they worked, and they're successes in my life. Don't make that mistake. You have a tremendous responsibility here. And you've been given the opportunity to do something historic. I can assure you, if this thing takes you too long and it fails for that reason, or if you can't get consensus and you're letting your dislikes or your fears or distrust get in the way and this thing goes down, you'll regret it for the rest of your lives because you will have missed a historic opportunity to do something. This is a community. One of the things I love about this community and about the technology is that it is inherently rebellious and anti-authority. I mean, the whole internet, right, is against hierarchy, against control, giving everybody freedom. And this community and its people are inherently suspicious of anybody who exercises authority, right? That's just the nature of who we are as a community. And that's a nice thing, to a point. In order to make it work, at some point, you got to be willing to designate people and compromise on things and actually make decisions and coordinate. Don't do it in an authoritarian way, but you have to do it. And so I think the time has come now, and I've told the chairs that if you think I can be useful, any help I can give the next couple of weeks, I'm happy to do. But you really have to do this. You have to get focused now, be willing to delegate some authority here. Set up a process in the next couple of weeks to get this done. You're running out of time, and it'll be terrible for the internet, terrible for everything all of you have worked for if you let this go down. So I thank you very much, and I wish you the best success. I'm sorry that I have to leave early.
thank you very much, Ira. That's been truly inspiring, and I hope that we will continue to work in that spirit. Talking about work, now it's time for all of you to become more active than you've been for the last couple of hours. So we're now going to have breakout sessions, and the first breakout session is on how the community comes to its decisions. You will remember that we had a discussion yesterday about voting versus consensus, how these things can be operationalized. And the idea is now to do exactly what some of you have suggested. I think this idea came from Kieran, so he can give himself credit in his next article for having inspired some changes to our methods. So we're going to have the first of our breakout sessions for today now, and that is on the topic of community decision-making processes. So you don't have to worry that much about what the subject of that decision would be, but we want you to think about how the community can come together to make decisions. So elements for you to consider are: how can such process be triggered? You know, what's the starting point for the community to come together and make a decision? Then who has standing to be part of that decision-making process? We want you to think about quorum and threshold, about veto rights and objections, and the outcome. So you will see that in here, you don't find the term voting, nor do you find the term consensus. You might find something completely different. But what we think we need is some fresh ideas that can help bridge the gap and be the basis for an implementable solution on how the community comes together in an inclusive manner and expresses his wish. And again, this is one of the topics that needs to be fixed regardless of the implementation model we're going to deploy. So this is going to be very important. So we thought that an idea for you to go about with is use the maybe easiest community power, i.e. the community power to stand up against a change of a standard bylaw, but it can be anything else. The idea is just to get some thoughts on how the community comes to decision. So we're now going to break into breakout sessions. Cheryl will share with you some thoughts on how this can be made work. The co-chairs and rapporteurs will be walking around to see what you're discussing and try to understand what you're doing. So we're going to give you like 30 minutes to create a vision, 5 minutes after that when we reconvene for rapporteurs of these groups to present their views, and then we're going to have another hour of discussion. So, Cheryl, you're going to share with us now how we're going to do this?
Yes, well, there's logistics, of course, and the logistics, my name's Cheryl Langdon, all for the record, by the way. The logistics means that we can't move tables. We've got all the cabling on the floor, and this is hardly ideal for a breakout room of some 80-plus people into four groups. Therefore, working with what we've got in the best way we can, and we're going to encourage you to self-organise. Let me declare, this is how I would have done it. I'd have had you all very much more organised into goldfish bowls and making sure everyone's voice is heard, but apparently that's all too controlling, so I shan't do that. Self-organised people, just wish, no, not really. Into four areas we have, I see only three flip charts, so we'll position those in places where you can at least gather chairs around. It would be nice if you weren't all constrained by tables. So we're going to encourage people to balance, to make sure that we have not just like-minded people in the one group. I know it's very annoying. You won't all necessarily have to agree with each other. That's terrible. It is an opportunity to do what Keith just said in the chat, which is double down and start looking towards some consensus in this room on some issues. For those that are wondering about what our topic is going to be for the second breakout session after lunch, that one is going to be reconciling differences between board decisions and communities. And so you don't need to cover any of that type of material in this first session. It will be dedicated, and we think if you just work on the simple bylaw, not a fundamental bylaw, a simple bylaw process, it'll get your thinking going. We are going to need a leader and a reporter for each of the groups. So what have we got? How many spaces are we setting up here? Three? Three in the room and the remote? Is that what we're setting up? Okay. So we've actually got two outside. Excellent. Good on you, gentlemen. People know how to get us organized. Two outside, two in here, and we will run the Adobe Connect room as a remote one for our remote participants. And I think, Steve, Del Bianco, you're going to be helping manage that with staff. So I'm going to ask you now, find a place where a whiteboard exists, take a chair so you are comfortable, unless you want to stand for 30 minutes, and you're welcome to do that as well, and gather around the whiteboard. Self-select someone who's going to jot down your sage-like wisdom on that whiteboard. We will capture all of that. If we come around and find that we think it's a really too large, too small, or funny balance group because it's all board members agreeing with each other, I've got to pick on someone, it may as well be the board, then we might suggest and encourage a different change and some balance. Please don't take this as an opportunity to go and do your banking or your shopping or check what's going on downstairs. This is important work. And with that, we will mention that you can get up and take your coffee and take it back. This is now going to go through a working coffee break. So be careful what you wish for, people, because you're about to get it. Show us how it should be done. Show us how it should be done. Thank you.